We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
My topic today, I probably have talked about this before. It's kind of hard to keep track sometimes when you revisit a place, which sermons you have preached and which ones you haven't. And I have a couple that are really, really good that minister to myself, you know, and I want to like preach them everywhere I go. And then I have to think, did I preach this here before? But I know for a fact there's one that I have prepared for Sunday that I haven't preached here before. And it was a very spontaneous one that I got to preach actually at the River in Tampa. But it was like a side note kind of on the fruit of the Spirit. But I made a whole new thing out of it. So you can be excited about that on Sunday. It's going to be really powerful. It's going to be really awesome. Some of the things that God in my life rebuked me for and that changed my life and took me to the next level. And that's what he has in plan for you as well. I don't think many of you need rebuked, but it's, you know, sometimes necessary. But it's a good rebuke. Amen. So my topic on tonight, and I'm trying to keep this as short as possible, but it's quite an extensive topic, is heavenly boldness. And this is something that I come back on time and time again, because we need to be bold, people. We just need to be bold. It's like a non-negotiable. As a believer, every believer has to be bold. And that whole mindset of, well, I wasn't created that way, is complete nonsense. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursues them, but the uncompromisingly righteous are bold as a lion. Say this with me. I am bold. As a lion. And that's the truth. And everything else is a lie. Because the word of God is true. And so you have to tell this yourself until it manifests in your life. You know? There are some things that the first time you hear it, you don't really get it. You know? And words have power. And you have to begin to tell yourself the truth of the word of God. And obviously this is tied in together with evangelism. I'm going to get into that on Saturday more. But I want you to come and just share what happened with you as you stepped out in boldness. So just like a little example.
Go ahead.
Do you want to hold it? Or?
You can hold it. I trust you. You can under 10 minutes. I think you can do that.
So today I was sitting and studying the word, and I was sitting at Starbucks, and I had multiple people that came and I just saw them, and I wanted to pray for them, but I just didn't, and I felt really bad, and it was almost like shame, and I was sitting on my table, and finally this couple who sat down, and I knew that I wanted to pray for them. I had to pray for them. And again, like, I was so scared because I had my laptop in front of me, and I just couldn't, and I was listening to worship music at the same time, and it wasn't a coincidence, but I was listening to I Surrender by Hillsong, and I just told myself, I said, I can't, if I'm listening to music like this, and if I'm not obeying the Holy Spirit, I'm a hypocrite, I'm not gonna do that anymore. And I folded my laptop, and I read the soul winning script to them, and the guy, he prayed with me, and a few hours later I was with Sarah, and we were at this gas station, and this really beat up looking guy, kind of scruffy, dirty, shirt untucked, he came and he asked for a quarter, and he seemed really sketchy, and so we just gave it to him, and he went about his way. He was asking other people for change, and he had some coins. He went inside the gas station, and he just dumped the change in front of the cashier, and I just saw him do that, and he left. So I thought he was buying cigarettes or the lottery or something, because he seemed like that type. But he was actually getting gas, and I asked the guy, the cashier, I was like, what did he get it for? And he told me gas, and I was like, how much did he pay? And he's like, $1.26. So I was like, well, I should pay more, because obviously no one needs $1.26. So I added a little bit to that, and as soon as I did that, I was with Sarah, and I knew I was going to pray for him, and she knew as well, and she's like, are you going to pray for him? And I was like, yeah, I was going to do that. And I just went to him, and I read the soul-winning script, and he prayed with me. And after that, I asked him, I said, is there anything that you would want to be set free from? The same God that saved you wants to set you free. He wants to deliver you or wants to provide for you. He's like, I need it. He's like, because I'm a heroin addict. And I was like, yeah. I was like, you should come to church. And that's what it was. But the goodness of God, like I knew that I had to do it. I just, this time there was no conflict. This time there was no confusion. I saw a man. Sarah saw a man. We just knew what was to be done, and we just obeyed and. You know, and heroin addict just prayed a few hours ago before church, and he knows where we are. He has a card, and we'll see him.
Was it hard?
Not at all. Not at all. The second time, not at all. I mean, not even the first time, but the second time.
How long have you been saved now?
6 months or
six
less.
6 months. Yeah. All right. Are you full-time evangelist?
No.
Not yet. Okay.
Thanks, Arnav. You can take a seat. You know, I like how simply he puts it. You know, I like hearing from people that are newly saved, and they just put things so simple, you know. And there's things that people make out of spiritual things that we know, but they make it so complicated, you know. And you have to, and I felt led by the Holy Ghost, I had this impression, and yeah, no, none of that stuff. It's just like, I saw the people, I knew what I had, I didn't give it to them, felt bad. Okay, then I made a decision, I'm going to just walk up to them and talk to them. And we have a tool that you can actually just read to them. You don't even need to know what to say, you know. You just have to know that the Word of God works and the gospel works. And at first, you need boldness, but then the second time, no more boldness needed. You know, it's like, hey, okay, the first time, I realized there was like this inner struggle going on, and that is called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And it's not condemnation, but he's tugging on your heart, saying, hey, I called you to do something, to not just live life for yourself, to not just go through this world thinking about yourself. And there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:14. It says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And so if we died with him, we don't live for ourselves anymore, but we live for everybody else. And so that's that compelling love, you know. And we can't misinterpret that as God condemning you for not doing something, but that is that love of God for the other person. Like, we know he loves us, but now he's like, don't just think about my love for you. Like, think about my love for that person and actually be moved by that. And so that's when the Holy Spirit comes in. And that's why... And I talked about that in the Bible school, is that worldly sorrow is actually death, you know, dries our bones. But godly sorrow produces repentance, and out of that come fruit for eternity, you know. And that's that fruit. Like, when we allow God to, like, push us a little, you know. Okay, Lord, I feel that. I feel that urge, and it's compelling. And many people don't like to be compelled. You know, compelling is a force. Like, you compel somebody, stand up right now, you know, do this, do that. And people don't like to be bossed around. But we know God shouldn't need to boss us around. He shouldn't need to. He fills us with his love, and that should move us already. And so there's many reasons why people are held back of doing that. The number one reason is fear And I've talked about this many times, you know, that fear is a spirit. I mentioned it on Sunday, that has absolutely no room in our life. So if we eliminate fear, then the next thing is, okay, why am I not going up to that person? You know, so if we don't, we're not afraid to go up to a person, then what hinders us from going up? And that's what I shared on Sunday as well, is the lack of compassion. Like actually thinking about the other person's soul. And when these things, when the love of God, the compassion of Jesus Christ, when we allow that to literally invade our life, then it will move us. And actually, we have to move ourselves. But because of that, we move. Because we know that we have what those people need. We can actually make an impact in their life. If they follow through with it or not, that's another question. But ultimately, those people that he met today, their life was impacted today. God actually did something in their life. And there's no better feeling than knowing God moved through me today. God acted through me today. I acted on the behalf of God Almighty. And I believe that's what most people actually desire doing. Like, can God really use me? Can God really use me? The way you are, he can use you. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not hard. It's just that initial boldness. And I always tell people that when I train them. It's like the nerves, you know, and the fear and everything before the first person. And you talk with them, and either they say yes or no, pray or they don't pray. But right after that, I always ask people, so are you okay? Are you okay? Everything good? You still breathing? You know? You still alive? Because it's like this crazy irrational fear of what could happen. I don't know what could happen. Well, you didn't die, so... You know, everything went great. You can do the next thing. You can go to the next person, because if that one didn't kill you, the next one probably is not going to kill you either. And yeah, maybe they laugh. But hey, then at least they heard the message from you, and then they're accountable before God. And that's between them and God. And we cannot take that personal. But ultimately, we have to move in boldness constantly. And consistently move in boldness, because the righteous are bold. And how to tap into that boldness. I was sharing about that with that girl that I pulled out in the evangelism school that was super shy, super nervous, shaking, and then students throwing shoes at her and shouting and things like that. And all it took for her was like 10 seconds praying in the Holy Ghost to tap in to what God has already placed on the inside of you. And something that came to me when I preached at the river in Tampa spontaneously, like on a Sunday night, that was like a few weeks ago. And when I got on that pulpit, and it is always so crazy to me to think about myself, how I was 11 years ago, not bold at all. Very self-conscious, super nervous, super shy, you know, thinking like, man, if I say something stupid, you know, I just wanted to die, you know, and disappear into the ground, I don't know. And like how that person is completely dead today. Like no trace, literally no trace of the old Jana that I was. As Pastor Julia said, that was Jana. As they mispronounced my name back in the day, Jana. And I happened to show her a picture one time of what I looked like in first year RBI, because she never met me in first year. She came after we graduated already. And so, yeah, I looked different. I had different demeanor. I had different posture. I mean, it just shows, you know, when a person is bold or not. It shows. You can tell. And so, like, looking back at those pictures, I was like, man, like, that's not me. That's not me at all. But then what came to me is that the person I am today was already in there all along. And that is the truth. The person that God created you to be is from before you were even conceived. He formed you in your mother's womb. And God doesn't create something bad or lacking. He doesn't. And so all the potential, everything that you dream of being, that person that you dream of being is already on the inside of you. It's already on the inside of you. He created that person in your mother's womb, already with everything that you need. Now, the matter is just of tapping into that. And then many times the enemy turns your focus into everything that you don't have and everything that you're lacking and says, because of that, you can never be that. Because of this and that and your past and even right now, what you're going through, what you're dealing with, things that, you know, you seem not to be able to overcome. Like this silly fear of going up to a person winning souls, you know? I mean, that needs to be overcome to turn into the person that you're supposed to be. Because Jesus said, if you follow me, you will be fisher of men. So if you're not a fisher of men, you're still not the follower Jesus wants you to be. And if he says you will be that, you are absolutely able to be that. Absolutely. He gives you everything to be that. And above, what God gives us is way over and above. And we look at our natural ability, but God said very clearly in his word that it's by his spirit. It's not by your natural ability. It's not by human wisdom. It's not by your natural talents. It's not by any of those things. It's by his spirit. By his spirit. And we read that when Jesus said to the disciples, wait until I send you the promise. Wait in Jerusalem and you shall receive power. And without that power, they would have never fulfilled what they were called to do. So how are we going to fulfill what we're called to do without the power of the Holy Spirit? The power of the Holy Spirit is not just to preach, you know, with an anointing. The power of the Holy Spirit is not just laying hands on a sick person, they get healed. You know, that's a manifestation of the power. But the power of the Holy Spirit is literally transforming your entire being, all of you. And the Spirit and the Word always go together. So now people get so much into the spiritual, they get all cuckoo, you know. There has to be a foundation of the Word. And the Word cleanses us. The word cleanses our mind. Wrong thoughts, wrong beliefs, lies from people that we believe, that only the word of God can wash that out. And then the spirit of God comes and fills you to walk it out, to actually step into the truth, step out of the lie. So the word of God washes all the lies, and then the spirit of God leads you in all truth because he's the spirit of truth. He's the spirit of truth. When we have an unction from the Holy One, we know all things. That doesn't mean you know everything. You know, there's an interpretation to that. But we can know what God wants us to know about ourselves, number one. Because you have to know who you are in Christ to step into the fullness that God has for you. You have to know who God is calling you to be. That it's not just for a few people. And then people take the scripture out of context and say, many are called, few are chosen. So only the few chosen ones, they can be everything. And you just, you know, be humble and just do your best. No. The only reason why few are chosen is because few are willing. Few are willing to go all the way. Few are willing to pay the price. Few are willing to look ridiculous sometimes. Because, you know, living by faith is not always very rational. Doesn't always make sense. You know, stepping out in faith, that requires to be willing to lose yourself. And that's why Jesus said, lose your life so you will find it. When it doesn't matter what people think about you, doesn't matter what people say about you, you only care to become the person that God wants you to be. And guess what? The world's not going to like it and religion is not going to like it. But people who want the same thing, they're going to like it. And they're going to pray with you, and they're going to stand with you, and they're going to go out soul winning with you. You know, I'm telling you, the people that are some of my best friends today, I've been out soul winning with all of them. It's not a coincidence, you know. If you befriend soul winners, then that fire just increases your fire, and iron sharpens iron. And a believer that doesn't do what God wants them to do doesn't sharpen anybody. And we need to all desire to be used by God to step into our full potential. And so one example of boldness, we'll go to Acts chapter 4. I mean, the early church, not just the apostles, but all the early church and the converts were like some of the boldest people ever, because most of them died as martyrs. Most of them, by the thousands. When we read, you know, church history, it's really crazy. So from verse 1, Acts chapter 4, I'm reading in the New Living Translation. It says, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus, there is a resurrection of the dead. That's very crazy. You know, they're walking around telling people the dead come back, you know, to life. That's crazy. That's, you know, you have to be bold doing that, because people are going to think you're crazy. They did that 2,000 years ago. They still think the same thing today. And so that's just what it is. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, they put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000 people. You see, the result of preaching Jesus is always that people get saved. Always. When Jesus is preached, salvation happens. That's just how it is. And so, obviously, they believed in the message and they decided to follow Jesus. And that was now 5,000 people. So it's never, you know, doesn't stay small, the work of the Holy Ghost. 5. Then the next day, the council of all rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? So what is the answer? Because, you know, the Lord said, many are called, few are chosen. We are obviously chosen because, you know, we were one of the 12 of Jesus, and he personally chose us, so that's why I know I have power to do these things. Absolutely not. That was never the answer. But somehow we think, you know, not we, but a lot of people, and I used to think so, that if I know I was a chosen one, then I would have the power. If I just knew that God chose me, if he would just tell me in an audible voice, Yana Pauls, I choose you to do mighty works and travel the nations and lay hands on this, and then I'll go. You know, I mean, people like have these things. Like, if I had that, if I knew this, if I heard that, then I would have the faith to do it. But faith acts without knowing, because that's faith. Faith doesn't know. Faith doesn't see, you know. It's not by what we see, but what we feel. It's a knowing in our heart and our spirit. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Amen? And so they knew Jesus Christ. That's all they had to know. So here's the answer. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of all people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man that you crucified, but whom God has raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scripture where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the chief cornerstone. There is salvation in no else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Very simple message. This is not some deep theological stuff. They're like, we stand here before you by the power of the name of Jesus. That man was healed. Had nothing to do with me. We just know Jesus, and we know the power that he gave us, and we used it. That's it. You know, I mean, that's how simple it is. That is simple spiritual truth, that when we get that, we have the same Holy Ghost that Peter was filled with when he opened his mouth. We can be filled with that same Holy Ghost. We can be filled with that same power. And we can increase that on our life. And that is why, you know, going to church is a continual thing, you know, because we have to increase. We have to increase in the anointing. Like, we decrease, of course, but Christ in us increases. The anointing in us increases so that we can have a greater impact, you know. That was an impact in those two people's lives. But get what? You can impact hundreds of people, thousands of people. And so that's why we have to go on another level. Not just for ourselves, but because there's people, nobody else can set them free. How many addicts are out there right now trying to go through rehab? They go through, they go right back. I don't know the statistics, but most people, right back. Because why? They come out and now they're clean, right? But then most of their friends are still drug addicts. They drag you right back in. And nobody has the power to keep you out. You can't stay in rehab all your life. I mean, if they would stay there, they would stay away from the drugs. But that's not a life solution. Because the answer is Jesus Christ. Only He can fill that need. When you're addicted to Jesus, that's why you're not addicted to anything else, you know. He completely fills that. And then experiencing how it is like to get high on the Holy Ghost, I mean, you know, it's always fun to me when I see Pastor Rodney pulling out people in the altar call that come from that kind of a background, and most of the time you can tell, you know, by the way people look, by their eyes, you can tell. And so he would pull somebody out that is getting touched by the power of God, and he would ask them, have you experienced anything like this, like any kind of that experience in the world? And they're like, no, I did this drug and that drug and this drug, but this is like nothing I've ever felt, you know? And that's what a lot of churches are lacking, that people are afraid to let the power of the Holy Ghost move, but that is really what people need. That is what people need. They need the transforming power of God to literally hit them, slam them. And so I know the many times, countless times, when I press into the Lord, and not, you know, people many times only when they hit rock bottom, they're desperate. But obviously, I was not a drug addict. You know, I lived a pretty okay life, you know. I mean, I didn't have to prostitute myself or things like that. I was never an alcoholic or whatever. But there are things in every single person that they're dealing with. You know, shortcomings, things you don't like about yourself. Even stupid things like you don't like your nose. You know, and then everything you think about is getting surgery for your nose. And I've been there for years. I wanted to get my nose fixed for the long... And then the ears. I want to get... There's probably one sticking out right now. Just, yeah. I see it in pictures later. You know? And it's like, these are things that literally, like, whatever the enemy can use to get your focus off the things of God and living in the fullness. I mean, stupid things. Literally. I mean, the stupidest thing. You know? And it's so funny because... Many times when I do women's meetings, I talk about these things because mostly women dealing with that stuff. Sometimes it's men too, but it's mostly women. And how long, like, my nose has bothered me. And then I go to South Africa, right? And then in South Africa, they say black, white, and colored. That's what they say. It's, like, accepted. So I'm going to say black. I don't know what's accepted nowadays, you know. If I was black, I wouldn't care if people call me black. I don't care if people call me white. I actually wanted to be black for a while when I was a teenager. I thought black people were so beautiful. I was like, I want to be black. You know, they have these full lips. I really liked it. You know, I was like, man, you know, I had this whole face. So I'm not racist. Amen. God is not racist. And so these black girls would come to me and they would tell me how much they love my nose. They were like, your nose is so pretty. And I was like, what? Really, out of everything, not the eyes, you know, I mean, many say the blue eyes, you know, it's another thing, but they just were obsessed about my nose, like multiple of, you know, they just come up to me and like compliment me on a nose. Why? Because they have a little different shaped nose, and you always want what you don't have, you know, it's like, when really, how am I going to come back from that? See, the enemy is so stupid, putting your focus on something that makes you unhappy. And then it turns, actually, that can turn into full-on depression. Something completely ridiculous. When the enemy can take our eyes off of Jesus, ultimately. Because Jesus says, keep your eyes fixed on me, the author and the finisher of your faith. That we live by faith. We don't live by what we see. Even what you see in the mirror, that's not what God sees. When God looks at you, he sees somebody who he created to do awesome things until he comes back. That's what he sees. That's where he's trying to get you into, that place. And he's, you know, God is always pulling, you know, but at the same time, he says that we have to press in. We have to press in. We have to press into the presence of Jesus, because when we look at him, then we realize more and more how awesome we are. Because if Jesus Christ wants to spend time with you, you know, that's pretty awesome. Like Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you know, a water walker, food multiplier, dead raiser. He's like, I want to spend time with you. I want to touch you. I want to feel you. I just want to like put my arms around you and just overwhelm you. That, I mean, how can we ever be depressed? Like, how can we ever, like, even if nobody in the world loves you anymore, let's say everybody dumps you, like, nobody cares, nobody wants to speak with you, fine. I'm going to go meet with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, because he wants to spend time with me. He actually wants to be with me. He actually loves me. He actually loves you. And he actually likes you. That's even better, you know, because you can love people without liking them, but Jesus loves you. And he likes you. And he's the one that brings the best out of you. You know, people bring all kinds of stuff out of you, right? When you hang around with people, some of the stuff that comes out, it's like not always the best. So the more you hang around with Jesus, the better stuff comes out of you. That's the ultimate result. Nobody can spend time with Jesus and then turn out bad. It's absolutely impossible. You become who you spend your time with. And that's what happened with the disciples. And that is why they were able to speak with that kind of a boldness, because they were before the council. They already spent the night in prison. So these people, in the natural, had the power to put them in prison and kill them. And they didn't care one bit. Then they're like, you know, they could have said, we're so sorry, we'll never do it again, let us go, you know. They were not cowards. They even took it up another notch. And they're like, yeah, we did that in the name of Jesus Christ. Not only did we do that in his name, you killed the guy. You killed Jesus. You know, they're not on the side where they can like blurt out. I mean, these are people that had power, you know, and they didn't care because they know we have greater power. We have greater power. That same Jesus said, don't be afraid of those that can kill your body. Be afraid of the one that can throw you and your soul and your body into hell. Which obviously that's not the will of God, but he has that power. He has the ultimate power. So I don't care what people say, because there's a greater power on the inside of me. There's a greater power backing me up, and there's a greater power going before me, because he actually goes before us and he is in us, and signs and wonders will follow us. I mean, it's just like we're just surrounded by power, like at all times. Like, what's our problem? You know, what's your problem? Seriously. And then here's this awesome, awesome verse that comes right after. Verse 13. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see with their eyes that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. You can preach a whole week on that. Just be with Jesus, you'll be bolder. Be with Jesus, you'll say some more crazy stuff in the face of people that you maybe shouldn't talk to like that in the natural. But we don't operate in the natural. We operate in the supernatural. And that's why it's so important that we spend time in the presence of God, in the presence of God, in the arms of Jesus. That we press into that, because he's waiting. He came a far way 2,000 years ago, and now he's waiting for us to do a step toward him and press into his presence and say, I want nothing more today than press into the presence of Jesus Christ. I want to be changed. Just spending time with Jesus. Just spending time with Jesus. You know, many times, and I encourage people, you know, to make requests, you know, to make requests, you know, ask the Lord to give you greater boldness. And I was going to do that tonight, you know, just ask the Lord for greater boldness. But ultimately, when you just spend time with Jesus, you will be bold. You will be bold, even without asking. It's a natural consequence of spending time with Jesus. It's a natural consequence when you come in His presence, when you press in, like, deep, you know, not just the usual, like, yeah, I went to church and I got a word and, you know, I felt really encouraged by that. And that's good, you know. But you can come to a place where you literally press into Jesus, where you say, I'm going to touch the hem of His garment. I'm not going to leave before I know that I have spent some time legit with Jesus. Seriously with Jesus, you know. Because that's the place where you can do it. Because in this church, you're not restricted. And so ultimately, they say in verse, well, let's continue this. Because this is just an awesome, awesome result of being with Jesus. Verse 14, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. What should we do with these men? They asked. We can't deny that they performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading the propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So they called the apostles back and commanded them to never again speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than Him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. No one should be able to hold us back from speaking boldly about Jesus. No one in this world should have any effect on our speaking about Jesus. No one has that right. And they said, you don't have that right. God alone tells us what to do. And you can't hold us back from that. Nobody can hold us back from talking about Jesus. Then the council threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against the Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. And Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. That would be reason to get discouraged right there. That would be reason to get discouraged and be like, you know, we don't know how long we can still do this, you know. We experience this amazing Jesus and these people don't want it and they persecute us for it and they throw us in prison for it and they all unite against us. You know, that would be a reason to maybe get discouraged. I don't know why Christians nowadays get discouraged. You know, I really don't know. If you compare, you know, the challenges of what we face today and what they face, I mean, it's just crazy. But look what they prayed and what they asked the Lord. 29. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word with boldness, as if they didn't preach with boldness before. You know, I mean, that's the crazy part. They just stood before the council and were like super bold. Like, you killed Jesus, you don't tell us what to do, right? And then the same day, they were getting together praying. They're like, okay, Lord, this and this is going on. Hear their threats and give us greater boldness to continue preaching. Continue reaching out. Because they knew Jesus. They knew Jesus wouldn't stop. Jesus never stopped. He got so irritated at so many people. And still he didn't stop. And he went all the way to the cross. He went all the way. And the more we know Jesus, the more we know him, the more we will be like him. That is why it's so important to press into Jesus. Have more and more revelation about him. You know, one of my friends recently died. She was 32, has a one-year-old boy. And this girl was one of the greatest soul winners I've ever seen. She had cancer from the age of 10 years old all the way to 18, 19. And God healed her miraculously. Miraculously. She was never supposed to have babies. She had a baby. She got married. She didn't want to get married. And God gave her a godly husband, amazing man of God. And she promised she would serve the Lord the rest of her life. And she did. And, you know, that was my first time being at a funeral for one of my friends. And it really sucked, I have to say. I was so mad. I was so upset. Not at God, because I know it's the work of the devil. I know it's the work of the devil. But without God, she would have died when she was 19 years old. The doctors gave her 2 months. She did radiation chemotherapy twice. All her hair fell out, everything. You know, and part of her lung was taken out. She had multiple surgeries. I mean, there's nothing they could do anymore. And they said, you have 2 months. And God gave her years that she should have never had. And when I was thinking about that, I knew that her life was cut short. It was not the will of God that she would leave right now. And I know for a matter of fact that the things she should have done and the people she should have reached, now God has to find other people to reach those people. And we are working together as laborers in the field, you know, to bring in the harvest. And the people that are not doing their part, the other people have to make up for it. And obviously, it's not her fault. But I promise and I said to the Lord that I will take up the baton for everything that the enemy tried to stop in the tracks, that I would pick that up and for God to increase me so I can do that, so that the enemy has no victory, you know. Because, you know, I hate him. He can't have victory. He can't. He can't discourage me. He can't slow me down. No matter what he tries to do, that should be even more wood in our fire. Anything that he throws against us, anything that would slow everybody else down, but because we have a fire of God on the inside of us, that should just speed us up to go more into the direction that God wants us to go. And as I was standing there speaking at her homegoing, it was quite surreal, because the Bible says that there is a great cloud of witnesses watching us and what we do. And one day we will be with them, with all of them. And I made a decision even more than before to press in, to just press in. And I asked the Lord, you know, to help me and expand me and move more in the boldness. Because when you want to see great things, you have to make bold steps. You have to say bold things, like, be healed in the name of Jesus, you know. And we have to come to that place. And the only way to spend more time with Jesus, spend more time with Jesus. And some people say, no, that's all that God wants. God wants us to spend time with him, but not just for our sake, but then that we turn into people that are like Jesus Christ himself. That's our destiny, to be shaped and molded into the image of Jesus. And many times, you know, we come into that place where so many other things happen and our mind is in so many different places, and we really have to compel ourselves to press in deep into Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.